The Cybertruck, to me, is the perfect car-sharing vehicle. If full self-driving it does achieve true robo-taxi, there's going to be these fleet managers, these shepherds of vehicles, making sure that they're in good condition.
If you believe that electric vehicles are not only here to stay, but actually growing exponentially, and that it's about to disrupt the legacy auto industry, then this is the time to start looking for new business opportunities. Our guest today is doing exactly this. We're going to hear how he created a new business betting big on the rise of electric vehicles car sharing, building off his current business, renting out 12 Teslas and other electric vehicles on a car sharing platform called Turo. He is now launching a brand new business called Dispatch. Dispatch is a marketplace allowing owners of electric vehicles to rent out their car to people who prefer to rent an electric vehicle. This is a fantastic option for people who live in urban areas where owning a car can be expensive and impractical, travelers who've gotten used to the benefits of an EV instead of a gas car. It's also a great way to reduce congestion on the roads and promote sustainable transportation. But what is even more exciting is the future of Dispatch. When, not if, autonomous cars become a reality, the need for a robotaxi fleet manager will become a major business. A robotaxi, while similar to current services like Uber and Lyft, is vastly different in that there's no need for a driver or the expense of gas, and that completely changes the business model. And as consumers and businesses want to join in on this, they will need fleet managers who will operate and maintain the robotaxi fleets. Today, we're joined by Ryan Levinson. Welcome, Ryan. Thank you for coming on the channel.
Thanks for having me, Herbert. It's good always seeing you and great being here.
Thank you, Ryan. So prior to launching Dispatch, Ryan is currently running a business called The Kilowatts. It's a media company that educates on electric vehicles and also an EV rental business where he owns and rents out 12 Teslas and other EVs. Believe it or not, Ryan has 52 Cybertrucks on order. Yes, 52. He has 48,000 followers on Twitter, 150,000 followers on TikTok, and he creates movie quality videos reviewing electric vehicles on YouTube. Dispatch is a marketplace for EV car sharing. They're offering a suite of apps and technology to make the experience better for both the host and the guest. I'm really excited to learn more all about this. So help me get brighter, Ryan. Ryan, thank you so much. So first thing I want to ask you is you have a current business where you have these 12 Teslas. You've been doing this for a while now. You know, it's interesting, this car sharing platform called Turo, it seems to be quite successful. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So ever since, a couple of years actually before the pandemic, back when I was at Tesla, I started sharing my cars on Turo. I had one and then two and slowly now I've got 13 vehicles. And so, yeah, really just doing what I can to get more butts in seats, get people excited about EVs, give them accessibility to EVs when they're traveling here to the San Francisco Bay Area.
Okay, good, good. Tell me about more about how many, like, is car sharing a thing? Is it a real deal?
Yeah. So definitely car sharing is a pretty big thing. We've got demand year round here, but just generally speaking, like Turo, they've got over, I think, 30,000 Teslas on their platform. It's one of their biggest, if not their biggest vehicle is going to be like the Tesla Model 3, Tesla Model Y. And already before Robotaxi, as you mentioned earlier, before that, we already have this great demand for people that either already have Teslas or other EVs to use EVs, or people who want to try EVs before getting their own EV.
Wow, sounds like a really good business to build off of. So tell me about, I know that you interviewed Elon Musk, and when you were part of that Tesla owner Silicon Valley interview, he had talked a little bit about the future of robotaxi and FSD and the need for fleet managers. And then you also worked at Tesla, right? So tell me about more about that.
Yeah. So I worked at Tesla for 5.5 years doing marketing for basically recruiting efforts, whatever the highest priority recruiting effort was. If we were going to a conference somewhere, I was often behind the scenes making things happen, if not boots on the ground. And then, at the start of the pandemic, I left to focus more on, getting butts in seats, both through the storytelling I do with the Kilowatts on social media, and then also, the cars that I share. And so, fortunately, as a result of kind of doing both of those, I've gotten pretty close with the Owners Club here in the Silicon Valley, and had an opportunity when they needed a videographer to film their interview. I got to go out there, talk with Elon. We ended up having like 4 hours with him. We had bets between those of us that were in the room that day of, Is it going to be 45 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour? And 3 hours in, we had, I'll be up front, we had all gone to the restroom except for Elon. Elon was just still talking. He didn't, you know, if we had a question to ask, he was ready and willing to answer it. It was nonstop for 4 hours, a great discussion we had with him. But yeah, one of the things that did come up was both, you know, one, when does he think robotaxi is coming? A statement that he's kind of said always, or for the last several years, it's coming later this year. It's coming later this year. He did say that last year to us. And then on top of that, we talked about, like, what does that actually mean? Again, as you mentioned earlier, there's going to be these fleet managers, these shepherds of vehicles, making sure that they're in good condition. And then, there's a part of me that thinks, hey, wait, maybe what I'm already doing is pretty similar to that with the 13 vehicles that I have. And how can I help others scale that up and create these reliable pools of vehicles that people can safely trust and use for trips around town, or even especially with potential possibilities of FSD, potentially for the weekend, potentially for the week? It'll be potentially a very similar experience to Turo, except for you won't have to drive.
Yeah. So before that, right now, it's just a simple car sharing idea. It's not simple, but that's what it is now. Before it gets to robotaxi, can you just walk me through, like, what is that experience that you're experiencing right now? Where, how do you I guess you list the car up there, you get a renter, how does that experience flow, and how does this work financially?
So Turo's great as far as being a marketplace. You can list any vehicle within like the last 20 or 30 years and share it. You can just say, hey, I'm looking for this amount of money. Obviously, you can look at what other people are sharing similar vehicles, but put it out there, say, hey, I'm looking for $100 a day if you want to use my car. And a lot of people, it's their only car, and maybe that means that they take public transit that day, or some people have bigger fleets, such as me, and obviously people have much, much larger fleets, 50 or 100 vehicles, and you basically put it out there, say, hey, here's my car, very similar to Airbnb, hey, here's my home, and as a result of just having a critical mass of people that use the platform, roughly twice a week or so, I have a new person rotate through my cars. And again, roughly speaking, $100 a day, varies summer, winter, midweek, weekend. Roughly speaking, $100 a day that the car is out, and being Tesla's EVs with less maintenance, I'm just trying to keep my cars out there as much as possible. So my job, as far as the kilowatts, the car sharing from the kilowatts perspective, is just making sure cars are cleaned, tires are in good shape, brakes aren't in good shape. That the car is safe to use. So there's a lot of just like basic maintenance that goes into that, but a lot of basic maintenance that isn't required, isn't required with EVs that would otherwise be more required, you know, timing belts, everything else, if we had gas cars. So I just love that for the most part, my cars come back, I check them out, make sure they're good, and send them back on their way.
Curious to know who your guests are. Are they mostly people who've never driven a Tesla before because they're just very curious and want to try out the EV? Or are they people who are already a Tesla owner and they just want the Tesla when they're traveling around the world or something like that?
Yeah. And I think you asked me something somewhat similar to that last time, but I have noticed actually a bit of shift. I think the last time you asked me, I wasn't really sure. It was kind of like, well, it's a mix. I've seen a lot less people saying, you know, it's their first time ever renting an EV or the first time ever renting a Tesla. It's become much more of people who have either tried one before and wanted to try it again, or now own a Tesla and they're just traveling. So it definitely, well, it used to be kind of like a third. Now it's definitely seems to be even more than 50% already have an EV or a Tesla at home and just don't want to drive anything else.
Gotcha. Okay. And so now you've got this business that you're using Turo's, the marketplace. We're going to talk about your new business, Dispatch. I'm curious why you switched that. Before that, you know, you've also, the big thing about you is that you've got a reservation for 52 Cybertrucks. And I'm always just shocked when I hear that. And I want to understand what is going on. What are you thinking about this? Why are you doing this? And is it going to be part of the Turo marketplace? Is it going to be part of this Dispatch new marketplace that you're creating?
Yeah. So the 52 Cybertrucks was, you know, years ago. And at that point, I was still at Tesla and I started reserving a few of them, but I was already car sharing on Turo at that time. And at very first, it was just simply put, it was like a hedge. It, you know, these are at the time $100 a reservation. And I'm seeing like, this is kind of too good to be true, and we'll find out if it actually is or was. But the Cybertruck, to me, is the perfect car-sharing vehicle. Now it only seats five, but at the time it's at six, it's stainless steel. You know, it's going to be very hard to dent or scratch that thing. And it's got some like really excellent novelty. You know, it's a supercar in some ways, but it might start in like $40,000-$50,000 range. We still don't know exactly, but to me, it's like $100 to reserve a vehicle that in the future may drive itself. Like if full self-driving, it does achieve true robotaxi with Cybertruck, the fact that you could ever buy something that drives itself on electricity endlessly, you're hiring 10 years of an Uber driver. The metrics, the numbers just don't add up, like in a really great way for the customers. So it was like, hey, I'm already car sharing. I'm already looking for something that doesn't scratch, that doesn't, like, this is all those things, and it's an electric vehicle, and I can reserve it for just $100. So it was a pretty obvious choice to reserve one. And then I was like doing the math, okay, if I need to make X dollars per month, X dollars per year, I should probably have somewhere between 7 to 10 of them. So then there's a rear wheel drive, an all wheel drive, and then a tri motor. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know which one's gonna be the most profitable, so maybe I should get like a mix of them. So I ended up having, pretty quickly, I had 15 reserved, and then I was like, well, I'm gonna want some employees, and I need to pay their bills. Okay, so I should probably get at least 30 of the. And then I saw, of all things, I saw a YouTube video by Dan from What's Inside. He's a friend now, but at the time I didn't know him. And he reserved, he was just trying to see how many he could reserve. He's reserved 50 of them. And so I went online, I reserved, I bumped my order 30 up to 50, but I forgot I had a separate account where I just reserved one in case Tesla thought I intended to resell all of these. I was like, well, I still want one for myself if everything goes, you know, if things hit the fan. So I accidentally reserved 52. I meant to only reserve 51. And then at that point, it's like, again, it's $100. It's not something that I'm worried about. And in terms of the return on investment, I mean, this could be truly incredible. So what's another 100?
I love it. I think you made the right bet. Now that Cybertruck is scheduled to be going on delivery by the third quarter of this year, it's real, and we're seeing it out there, right? So it's looking like it's going to be promising. It's going to hit what their promise was about this vehicle. I think it's going to be just out of this world. People want this. The demand is starting to build. You can see it in the community and the kind of the public. So I think your world's going to be turned upside down in the second half of this year, very soon, right?
It could be. That's. I mean, you're leaning into it already, but that was. We'll talk about it in a second, but that was kind of where I'm like, okay, what does this mean? When I get these 52 Cybertrucks,
gotcha.
If I get all 52, I want to be clear. I don't necessarily think I will buy all 52 all at once, but even if I just get 10, 20 of them, that's a game-changing number, and I'm going to have to figure out how is the best way to use them, and that's what I'm starting to think about now.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, you'll probably get investment too as well as you build out this brand new business, which I absolutely love that you're doing this. I'm so amazed at you that you're starting this. I mean, even your own, the Kilowatts is both a media entity that's educating on EVs, and you've done an amazing job. I mean, your TikTok videos really do short, quick, but you educate the public on this. And then you've turned that into this... the Turo car sharing, and you're doing very well there as well. So this transition from that to this new marketplace that you're building yourself. So you're saying that you realize that the Turo business is doing well, but now you're thinking a little forward. Can you go ahead and share a little bit of that thought process?
Yeah. So essentially, just looking at Turo as it is, it's a great platform. You know, nothing really negative, big picture to say. The negative thing is they provide for everyone. They, you know, if you have a Porsche 911 from the 80s, you can have it on there. If you've got a Honda Odyssey minivan, you can list it on there. If you've got a Tesla, you can list it on there. And you know, one of those things is not like the other.
Yes.
When you rent an EV, you want to know, how long do I have to plug into this charger? If you go to lunch and you know, someone, especially at certain Tesla superchargers, the V2 superchargers, someone plugs in next to you, you just got an extra 15 minutes to stay and eat your lunch. But if you don't have the phone app access, if you don't have that notification saying, hey, you've got that extra time, now you're going to rush back, get to your car and be like, oh, shoot, I now have to sit in my car for the last 10, 15 minutes. There's a lot of ways that we can integrate into these vehicles, into what Tesla offers, into what Rivian offers, into what others are offering, to make for a better sharing experience. And then also, as you kind of alluded to, like, and prepare all that data, like learn more about that and prepare certain people, if they choose to be these kind of shepherds of the vehicles, leaning into maintenance, learning more about maintenance, collecting data. These things are being offered to us, but right now, Turo's not doing anything to help track, facilitate any of that. So it's just that future focus that, hey, right now, for some people, it's maybe indifferent whether they rent on Turo or Dispatch, but long-term, having all the data, having the phone key access, having it be more fluid is just going to be so much of a better transition point as we get more and more towards autonomous cars.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Electric vehicles are very different vehicles than the current gas car company cars. And so having a marketplace for car sharing that's specifically for electric vehicles, because these things are tech driven, they're software driven, the apps that you know so well. So your experience with the existing Turo, because you've been doing this on a day-to-day basis for years now, you really know. You know what needs to be built into this marketplace for both the buyer, sort of the guest and the host. So tell me about Dispatch. I love the name, by the way. I think it's great. I also like the logo that you guys are like you're shopping around right now to figure it mm-hmm. out. So I think you're really heading in the right direction here with kind of the potential marketplace. I'm a startup founder myself, so I get very excited talking to other startup founders, specifically when I think that it's like a no-brainer. Like, you know, it sounds like where you're headed here with the business model, with the branding, and the knowledge you have and the angle you're taking, it all just makes sense to me. So I'm a big fan of yours at this point, as you can tell. Okay, so tell Thank me you. A little about Dispatch. Yeah. Love the name, like I said. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I mean, so the name is somewhat yeah. intentionally direct. With Dispatch, you kind of going to get you're going to get a standardized experience. It's going to be routine. Again, for a lot of people, my intent mm-hmm. is you drive a Tesla at home, you want to be in a Tesla when you're traveling. A Tesla is not great because it's super customizable. It's great because it's expected. You're getting the same experience every time. And so that's really what our goal is with that name, Dispatch, with our brand, is to create more of a standard experience where any host, any guest, it's not incredibly unique, your experience. It's expected.
Okay, so good. So you launched a company. Tell me when you started it. What stage are you in? Just, you know, give me the nitty-gritty details of the startup that you're launching.
Sounds good. Yeah, it is definitely early days. You know, I've launched the Kilowatts. The Kilowatts has been a brand people know. This yeah. is, it was very much a, oh, now is the time to do this. And what does it take to start a business of this scale? It's going to take a couple of things, but largely I need to know that there's the customer base. I need to have a co-founder. I'm not a technical founder in that way. As you've seen, I'm more of a brand guy. I have more product, more marketing strategy, all that. But I'm not going to be able to develop the iPhone app the way that it could or should be, as well as the website and the back end. So I need a technical co-founder is I think what I'm looking for, not just an employee, but someone that's bought in really to the brand in a big way. And then probably a business operations guy. You know, largely speaking, these companies are Turo, Avis, Hertz, whatever else. It's largely managing the assets and then insurance. And so it's going to be the kind of thing where I'm going to have to make sure that we are protected as Dispatch, but probably more importantly, that our hosts and guests yeah. are protected and taken care of if things happen on the road. It's, you know, again, Cybertruck has the promise of being less likely to be damaged, but until then, even still after then, there's still always going to be the chance of a flat tire. And who's responsible in those situations? How are we allocating that? So business operations to really focus on making sure that everyone is protected, taken care of, and that it's financially profitable to do so. And then, you know, someone to work with me on the product and making sure that it is that premier experience that is noticeably better than anything else on the market.
Yeah, I was on your website and I love the experience that you're describing. So you really thought this through. Let's walk me through. You really, if it feels like you've got a, I don't know, what is it, 21st century approach to customer experience, and that the expectations of today's you know, tech heavy user. But I love some of the thought behind the experience. Tell me how that works, and tell the audience how you plan that to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what's great about this business is it doesn't seem like completely novel. It's not like, whoa, how would that work? I think a lot of people just generally do get it because we've seen others. We've seen Airbnb come up. We've seen Getaround and Turo come up. We've seen VRBO, and we all know how hotels are different than all that. We know how Avis and Hertz are different than that. So there's enough kind of reference points in the world, and effectively the angle that I believe we're going to take this is, there is some degree of expectation. You know, you can have the expectation removed of, you know, hey, we will always provide a clean car, and then when we get it back, we will also clean it. I think that there's at very least going to be the expectation that you are going to receive a car that is clean and devoid of personal items. Anything in the vehicle will be like a charging accessory or an essential, but like, hey, you're not going to get someone's smelly shoes in here, so don't leave your smelly shoes in here. So it's very much going to be your car while you have it, but then when you're done, we're going to take it back and we're going to expect that it was returned in the same condition, which again is kind of somewhere where like Airbnb maybe started. Airbnb has drifted a little bit further from that, and actually I think even just recently Airbnb is really going back, like, you know, upfront pricing. There are certain limitations on what you as a home host can ask of your guests now. And they're just going back to that, where for a while, I think even like Hilton Hotels was advertising how great it is that when you leave your hotel, you don't have to, you know, pick up your sheets and all that. So there's a fine line in the shared economy of asking the right amount from your guests and expecting the right amount from your hosts. And so we're just going to really try to shoot what I think is a comfortable middle, again, saying, hey, personal items and trash should be removed. You know, your charge, the state of charge, it doesn't have to be full, but you're going to be charged for the electricity that is missing. And that should be fine because you'd be charged for it either way. It's unless you have access to free charging, maybe you rented to go to an office. Apple's campus here in the Silicon Valley has plenty of chargers. Yes, it would have been cheaper if you as an Apple employee charged at your office, but if you didn't, you're just accepting the cost of electricity up to a certain point. You know, if you return it near empty, you're going to get an additional penalty. But again, it's shooting that middle. It's upfront communication of all that, and on both sides, both hosts and guests know what to expect.
Yeah, I love the part about photos or didn't happen. So as soon as you get the car, it's a standard practice to take photos of the car. As soon as you drop it off, it's standard practice to take photos of the car. It's such a simple thing that even like the regular car rental business right now, like when I use Hertz or Avis or something like that, they don't do that. And I do. I basically take a photo at the front, the side, the sides, you know, I just automatically do it, right?
And I think we all do that to some degree, or at least a lot of people think about that. If they don't, they really should. But it's like, yeah, let's create a standard practice where you feel truly protected, like you actually have documented the car, rather than like, hey, should I get a picture of that thing right there? No, I'm in a rush. No, it's every time before the car even unlocks, we're going to expect that. And I think even when you're renting from others, you should document the car yourself just so you know what's there. They can't claim that it wasn't there or it was there. We've got great cameras on our phones nowadays. Let's use them.
Yeah. And it sounds like your first market are Teslas, and you will expand it to other kind of cars. But the beauty of the Teslas is, as you said, 30,000 Teslas are in Turo right now. So it is kind of the preferred electric vehicles. You already know for rental, you already know that it's got a market right there. But the beauty of Teslas, right, is because of the technology of the app, right, where I own my own Tesla, but I travel to visit Austin. I want to rent a Tesla. I'll use your marketplace. But because it's a Tesla, right, it's my app. It's my user. As soon as I walk into this other person's Tesla, you know, some other host there, it's going to configure to me everything, all my settings, right? So it just adds to your service where it's all seamless and it works together. Yep. You'll have your own app as well, right? So what are the benefits of this, why did you decide Teslas?
Yeah. So, I mean, you pretty much nailed it right there, is that they're right now the largest EV in the market. They're in a lot of ways, the most renter ready already. Mm-hmm. So what I'm referring to, as you kind of alluded to there, is driver cloud profiles. So literally right now, even on Turo, even if it wasn't Turo, if the host and guest are both informed on this, you can come, as you're saying, go to Austin and you ask the host, hey, would you mind sharing, phone key app access? And they go to their Tesla app and they are the primary owner of that vehicle. They can then control up to 5 accounts on there. And that means 5 in addition to themselves, but they can share via text message, AirDrop, whatever else, email if they want, a link. And as long as you visit that link within 24 hours, you're now going to have access to the car through your phone. You can lock and unlock it. You can set up phone key. And the big one, I think, is driver profile setting. So let's say you prefer driving the car in chill with comfort steering and regenerative braking on high. You generally like it to be 68 degrees. You like the steering wheel to be kind of low because you like, you prefer to sit up hot. All these things are just, as soon as you unlock the car with your phone, it's all going to be right there. And I mean, first of all, there are a few other brands that do that technically, like BMW has it, some others have it. You have to log in, like you have to get in the car, you have to type in on this tiny screen, and it's only a very few cars within a brand. Like it's not even brand wide. And with Tesla, this stuff is brand wide. And it really, it's so easy to set up. And so we're just going to, again, facilitate it, just that little extra step of every trip that you rent on Dispatch. First of all, the host, it's going to be expected that they've already shared this ability. And then we're going to facilitate that actually unlocking so that way every time you rent a Dispatch car, it's going to get you just right comfortable right when you get going. You won't even potentially, unless the climate is dramatically different from where you were coming from to where you are now, you might not even touch the AC. You might literally just strap your seatbelt and go.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. That's brilliant. So many benefits to using the Teslas, and you know so much about it, but you also know all the other EVs as well, and you're not necessarily, holding yourself to this one, but it's brilliant. So tell me about your plan. So when are you going to actually launch? I think you're on waiting list right now. And then what are the metrics you're going to be tracking yourself for success?
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot still to be figured out. I'll say that much. Like I don't know. I never want to overcommit, but my goal would be to have something on the market in less than 6 months that would be Tesla owners only beta. So not just Teslas as the only vehicles, but as we're experimenting, as we're learning, we want people who know how to drive these vehicles already. We don't want to have massive insurance claims in our first couple weeks because everyone who wants to try a Tesla is coming to us. We want in the first couple weeks, if you already have a Tesla back at home, not only do we want you to be a host, but we also want you to be our first guests. And so we want to learn with that, and we want to basically pilot with that group. So within about 6 months, ideally, we will have our MVP, our Tesla owners beta. But there's a lot to go before then. Again, I am not the technical co-founder here. I'm talking to a few people as potential technical co-founders with that as like, hey, this is our key metric is can we ideally launch around the same time as Cybertruck and potentially be the first Cybertruck rentals. If we can beat Turo, if we can beat all the many thousands, there's right now again thousands of Tesla Turo hosts, if we can be the first, if we are the brand that people think of, that is just, again, I'm a marketing guy, that is just so valuable. And again, some of our logo design, some of kind of our branding, it's with this idea that, yeah, we want the best EV rental experience. And that would be such a win. So that's kind of the marker out in the distance. And then backing up from there, again, I've got to get funding. I've got to find those co-founders and those engineers, as well as the business operators. We've got to make sure insurance is in place that day one, let's say that first Cybertruck rental, they end up crashing it. Well, what happens in that situation? So we need to do quite a bit before we can actually host our first vehicles. But I do think a lot can happen in the Silicon Valley in 3 months, and a lot of technical engineering can happen in just the course of a few months. And so it's more just a matter of just getting moving. And so that's kind of why, again, I put out that landing page, get interest, start building the interest and prove it out, because the more interest we have, the more likely we'll be able to collect investments. The more investment we have, the quicker we can build with more effective engineers. We don't want to have too many engineers, but we need the right 3 to 4 to get that MVP out. And so that's what we're going to do.
I think you're selling yourself a little short. I mean, you've got years and years of experience with Tesla, number one. You have years and years of experience with Turo. You've been renting out, as I said, your fleet already. You know how this rental business works. You understand it in and out. You basically live your days doing it. And then you're very well connected to the Tesla community. So it makes sense that the Tesla owners, Silicon Valley Club has, 700,000 followers, and super connected with all the other owners club. You've got great marketing. You've got all the followers. You've been educating in EVs. So all of that are assets that you have. It really sets you up well, I think. So I think you've got a lot of work to do, but you've already progressed so far. So this is exciting. I love the idea. I think it makes sense that you're starting with Tesla owners, renting to Tesla owners as a way to go. I love the idea of launching a Cybertruck, being the only electric Tesla, first only Tesla marketplace for car sharing, and then eventually the first electric vehicle marketplace for that, because they're very, very different. Like we said, one is tech forward, one is app forward, just the whole education that you've already, all the work that you've been doing to educate. You can take those videos that you've done on how to do proper charging, how to open up, how to use the app, all the things. I don't even know how to share my key that you said. And I've used my Tesla for 4 or 3 years. I just haven't had to do it. So I don't know. But it's easy, I'm sure. But I have to find out, how do I send my key, allow somebody else through an app, a link on an app?
Or exactly. Email. We've got to make people comfortable with the idea of car sharing. Like, the idea would be, ideally, we're getting more than just Turo's current market size. We're really, growing to the point that, it becomes the obvious thing where if you have a Tesla, you're almost only ever driving a Tesla. And that does come with a degree of education of just how easy is it to facilitate this? How safe can it be? Oh, I now know that I can get alerts, for example, when someone speeds in my Tesla when I'm not in it. That makes me feel more comfortable sharing on it. So there's just so many little things that we can turn on to make people comfortable both as a host and as a guest. That, again, I don't want it to be confused, and I don't think you've said it in a way that's confusing, but there's so much more to learn or to do with, like, there's so much different about EVs. Almost all of it's just better. Like, if you've got a Ford F-150, you'd love to share it, but you don't want someone to go off-roading with it. Well, that's because you won't know if they go off-roading. With a Tesla, we can say, hey, your vehicle is currently not on the highway or a side road. Do you want to message your renter? We can pre-populate all those things, and you can check in and say, hey, it looks like you're off-road. Oh, it looks like you're off-road going 90 miles per hour. Like, we can provide so much more with EVs, with these connected vehicles that other vehicle, it's going to look like the flip phone days.
You can limit how fast your renters drive, right? You can set the miles per hour that you say, can't go past this stuff. Yeah. You can threat somebody going, hey, teenager, I've seen that you're taking the car for a joyride. Don't want you to do it. You don't push me, or I'm going to lower this.
And I don't know exactly what our decision will be for dispatch yet, but that is something that we're very much aware of, that, like, I have had over the course of, 5 years of hosting vehicles on Turo, I've had maybe 10 people that were driving too aggressively. Some of them, like one of them, he was just driving, passing people on the highway, and as a result got to 90 miles per hour. And so I was getting these alerts. You've passed 90 miles per hour, but he'd only done it a couple times, and I messaged him and I didn't end up limiting him. But I've had the other side where I've had people go 100 plus on I-5. I tried to message them. They didn't respond, stopped the car, restarted, and went 110. It was like, this is, and so then I had to limit them. And so it's where do these things come in? What do we provide both to the host and guests to let them know ahead of time? Hey, by the way, you may be speed limited. Because again, in an F-150 Lightning, that's not even possible, not necessarily Lightning, but in a classic old pickup truck, you don't have that ability to know these numbers and affect these numbers. And so we're going to have some policies in place about how, hey, if driving recklessly or to avoid driving recklessly, all dispatch cars on rentals will be capped at 90 miles per hour, is a potential path we may take. We're still figuring out the exact path, but we have that option.
So what do you, when you're starting first with Tesla owners to Tesla owners, sometimes I've heard some Tesla owners said, you know, yeah, I would never rent out my car. I love it so much. It's my baby. I don't want guests to ruin it. And it's a fairly expensive car. What's your experience so far?
Great question, because that, I think that that is the biggest thing for a lot of people. And it was hard for me at first, just conceptually, like, oh yeah, this is, you know, at the time I was 26, $50,000 vehicle. That was my, basically my whole net worth was in that car. My first year salary at Tesla basically went into, after taxes, went into that car. And I get that that's the case for a lot of people, is like they're stretching themselves for these cars, because they're so great and they don't want anything else. But, yeah, I think my I try to look at it from like a data perspective, and the reality is most people have returned the car in good shape. There's like little things I can say again about like why we're leaning into Tesla owners early, only early on. It's things like that. It's that if people rent for longer periods, they're generally taking better care of it. Especially like, you know, if you rent for less than 24 hours, you generally don't feel that anything you did is negatively impacting the car. If you rent it for a week, you feel obligated to clean the car when it's done. So there's certain things like just in length of use that do matter to just the psychology of the renter, of the end user. And then there's also, again, like the novelty of it. If they're, if someone's splurging way out of their budget to rent this car, they're not going to feel like it, like it's their level of car. So there's just a lot of reasons why we'd want to launch as Tesla owners only first and then feel out what makes sense in the market. But that is also what I've learned as being a host, that yeah, people who, I'll say this, there's a very interesting way that people who pay $100 a day or more are generally better than people who pay less than $100 a day to rent out a Tesla. And it's not something that I'd like, and I'm trying to better understand it. It might be just in the way that that psychology plays out again of like, oh, am I splurging for this vehicle, or is this just something that would replace what I have at home? And I think that when you are getting close to $100, people feel like they're getting a deal. Once you exceed $100, you're getting people who generally, yeah, this is what I drive at home and this is what I want to drive when I travel. And so it's something that we will continue to deeply try to understand, but it's just mostly just at this point, a fascinating data point that I've collected with my fleet of vehicles that, yeah, I end up making more money in two ways when someone rents for more than $100. Obviously, I'm making a couple dollars more than if I rented for $95 per day, but I also then don't have as high of likelihood of curved wheels. I don't have as high of likelihood of needing to go to a car wash to vacuum out the inside, because it's just the outside that needs washing, if that. But really, at the end of the day, it's we need to make people feel comfortable sharing their cars. It is a hurdle to overcome, and it's providing those statistics. It's providing reviews at multiple levels. Not just this was a 5-star review, but they 5-star, but their communication was 3-star. 5-star, but their cleanliness was 4-star. So there is a critical mass. There's a current amount. There's a amount of momentum that we need to get to make people feel like they can trust what we're building. And our goal is to hit the market in a way that gets that momentum quickly. We will either succeed or fail with everything that we've planned up until the point of launch. And so my goal is we've got a critical mass of vehicles. People trust us. People trust me, you know, the kilowatts, but also trust dispatch. And so we're going to be very communicative about how we're building this app. Again, that wait list, we're going to be reaching out and letting them know, here's what we're putting in place. What do you need in place in addition to what we're already targeting to feel safe with initially? And that's, again, why those first set of reviews will be from other dispatch hosts. This is going to be a tight-knit community at the start that slowly expands to let more and more people in over time, which will allow us to monitor and manage that risk.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, that because of the price cuts, the Tesla price cuts globally across the world, they started to cut the prices of all the Tesla models. And so it used to be, right, a couple of years ago, Teslas were very expensive. And so that's why you have these Tesla owners saying, this is a premium brand. This is, you know, I'm not going to go rent out my Rolls Royce to anybody. Why would I do that? But I think it's changed. The price cuts have lowered the prices of not only the Teslas, but also the used cars. And then the second thing is when you start realizing that when you figure out your monthly payments, and Tesla is doing a great job of reducing the monthly payments because of not needing to pay gas cars, but also just the way Tesla is bundling everything. And it makes sense when you rent it out. You tell me, what is it? If I rent it out for 1 week or less, I'm basically covering my lease that I'm using, right? I mean, it's like you're getting that free car. You're getting the car paid for by other people borrowing it for a week or something that when you're not using it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you look at it, roughly $100 a day plus insurance to rent a car, you're looking at, roughly speaking, out of pocket, $1,000. And for most Model 3s and Model Ys, it's going to be less than $1,000 for people to own that car. So yes, you have to hypothetically rent out a fourth of the time in order to pay for your payment. So even if you don't share on dispatch all the time, either during the week when you maybe work from home or during the weekends because you've got a different car for the weekends, even if you've got just one vehicle, the idea would be that, yes, ideally it would pay for itself with very little sharing necessary, and that the people who are sharing her are also not spending much more than they would, if more than they would, for another vehicle.
Yeah. If you had told me that stat you did at the very beginning, that on Turo, 30,000 Teslas are already being, rented and hosted and guest renting it, then that's your biggest risk because this is seen as a premium car, a tech forward car, but actually it's not. And it's all the things you said, the benefits of using the Tesla. Nobody can steal the Tesla. You will know exactly where it is. You can shut out, you can lock out the person who's doing something bad. You've done this before, right? Did you?
I have some stories on that. I can quickly go over. I talked about this last time, but I was supposed to, with the kilowatts, review a BMW i4 and iX 6 months before they were to hit market here in San Francisco. And I got a call from one of my friends who manages his cars on Turo, and he said, "Hey man, my car's been stolen in San Francisco. I'm in Seattle right now. He's in Portland. How can you help me? Like, the car is turned off. It just, the last location shows as right here." And somewhat unfortunately, the cars do stop showing their location when they're totally off. We only have the last known location. I said, "Well, unless you put it on a tow truck without turning it on, it's still there." And he didn't know that at the time. So I rode my little electric skateboard over there, kind of incognito, acted like I was just tooling around on my skateboard, and shooting wide angle. I made sure to go behind it to see the license plate, and I saw on my phone, that is that's his license plate. So that's his custom license plate. And so I told him, "Hey, give me phone key access," just like we were talking about earlier, "give me phone key access. And I'll steal it back." It was parked on the street by the highway, under the bridge basically. And so I got phone key access. I looked around, no one was outside. I'm not saying that anyone else should do this, to be clear. It was slightly dangerous in concept, but I ended up tapping on the door, which turns the car back on. And immediately again, the car starts adjusting to my driver settings because it, through the cloud, it was going to my driver profile, and I had access to start the car. And that's exactly what I did. I started the car. I kind of weaved my way through San Francisco to make sure no one was following me, took it to my shop, parked it inside, called the cops back, who were saying they were going to be there in an hour. And I was already back with the vehicle. I said, "Okay, I'm going to this BMW showing. Someone here at my building will be able to let you in, but I got to go." So I was able to successfully steal the car back. And then when the cops got there, from my phone, unlock the vehicle, start it for them, and they were able to take it back and impound it and, check for any DNA or anything like that. Nothing ever came of that. It's not big enough of a risk, especially since we got the vehicle back. But we got the vehicle back, and he was able to go continue hosting it on Turo.
Gotcha. You confused me a little bit. You're talking about BMW, but that's an event you were going to. This is a Tesla that you're talking about, right?
Yes. Sorry, that's correct. Okay. So I was going to, as the kilowatts, I review electric vehicles. I was supposed to do that concurrently, but I was able to squeeze this recovery of a Model S, recovery of a $100,000 vehicle in between that and when I was supposed to see the BMWs.
the benefits of your Tesla is that you can see where it's located. You can lock yourself in or out, or lock whoever's out there, and then you could find it. That's great.
It was incredible. And the only reason why it even happened in the first place was that he had the old-fashioned key fob was left in there without a Faraday bag, which is its own set of problems. Those who know that you've got to block the signal of traditional key fobs in your car. And unfortunately, that day, that night, it wasn't in that little bag, and therefore it was lost. And we're going to, again, with Dispatch, that's going to be a thing of the past.
Yeah, I love it. Your knowledge of not only Teslas, but all electric vehicles, because you review all of these, everything, and you actually do the videos and you teach people, you know so much. I tell you, I don't know anyone else who knows as much as you do about every little feature, what works, what doesn't work. So that comes in handy to this business. Yeah,
I think the biggest thing is like just realizing that like, often things are exactly the way they seem to be. And what I mean by that is like, cars can claim to be luxury. They can claim to be a lot of things, but convenience is a modern luxury. And the best way I've found to describe this is there are some EVs out there that I've reviewed that are great EVs in a lot of ways, but certain design elements aren't there. And the one that I'm thinking of specifically is lock and unlock function. When you use a Tesla, when you use the Tesla phone app, it'll tell you the car is unlocked or locked. It's one button. It'll either show an unlocked icon and you tap it if you want to lock it, or it'll show a locked icon and you tap it if you want to unlock it. I'll just say it. The Chevy Bolt and the Ford, at least as historically, and I believe still, the Mustang Mach-E, when I did my drives with them, and I think also with the Lightning, there's two separate buttons for lock and unlock. So if the car's locked and you hit lock, it'll honk its horn and it'll stay locked. If it's unlocked and you hit unlock, it'll honk its horn and it'll stay unlocked. But if you weren't there presently with the vehicle, let's just say, hypothetically, you drop your car off at the airport, you get on a flight, you lose cell service, you land at the other end, and you look at your phone like, shoot, I forgot my purse was in my car. I didn't get it out of the car before I left. My wallet, whatever else, my backpack. You can now lock your car, hope that it locks one. You won't know necessarily if that signal gets through. Hopefully they've got some kind of messages. But for the entirety of the flight, you will not know whether or not your vehicle was locked or unlocked during that period of time. There's 3 hours someone could have gotten in, and you can't check the cameras to see if if things have been shuffled around inside. There's so many things you can't do with some of these vehicles. And I think the barrier to entry for dispatch vehicles will be these vehicles will have a certain base level of features. EVs are great, but we need the best EVs. We need a drive for those features that really make it feel like we're entering the 21st century with vehicles. And this is one example. It's narrow, but it's representative of how these cars, how the infotainment, how it's all thought about. And Tesla, Rivian, maybe Lucid. There's a couple other brands that are thinking about like what cars should be versus doing what they have been and just putting it on the phone. And so we're going to take on those bests and really make them even better for car sharing.
Nice. Okay. So let's talk robotaxi fleet management. This is the future. You're launching Dispatch right now as a car sharing. First of all, do you think, where are you feeling confidence about FSD, full self, Tesla's full self-driving, other car companies' ability to do robotaxi, even if it's geofenced in a certain area? How confident are you with that? And then, when it comes time for robotaxi, will you be set up to be a good fleet manager? And by then, would you have an advantage over other companies that aren't doing what you're doing starting today?
Yes. Yes. It's such a great question. It's a question of the time. Because I think the only thing that gives me pause about starting this business is that. And it's knowing that if Tesla makes their cars fully autonomous tomorrow, if they are suddenly successful, they've been close for a very long time. The question is, how long are they close before they cross that threshold? So if they're able to make their cars fully autonomous tomorrow, what does that mean for us? And my goal is, as you're saying, to create a platform, to create Dispatch. And it's going to feel even more like that brand name when we do reach that point. Because. Exactly. Yeah, you're going to be calling a Tesla, maybe on Tesla's app, But behind the scenes, the fleet managers, in my vision of this, and maybe I'm wrong here, I don't know what Tesla has planned, but my intent would be that, yeah, we're then just providing the tools, the standard practices, the fleet tracking, everything that those hosts need to corral their vehicles, to know that their vehicles are safe, to get alerts when their vehicles go outside a certain perimeter. Maybe it's a state, maybe it's a country. Yeah, our goal is to basically develop those tools now. So while our business may shift dramatically, especially if we're still only hosting Teslas at that point, renters may not book through Dispatch. They may book through Tesla. We don't know. Ideally, they're still booking through Dispatch. That would be great. But we're open to that fact and really thinking about the host side, at that point, the shepherd side, to make sure that they have all the tools they need to maintain and manage those vehicles well. And that's, again, the name Dispatch will literally be the dispatcher. You could call it shepherd, you could call it dispatcher. At that point, that would be the primary role of our business. And I'm more than happy to work with Tesla to be that, if that's the case. But you asked me how confident am I about FSD. I think part of why I feel like now's the time is it's a lot of people have bought the FSD package thinking, hey, when can I monetize this? How can I monetize this? And we've been promised for years it's coming, but we haven't yet been able to monetize it. And so my goal is to really, again, even more than Turo is today, provide a path towards monetizing this asset that you may have excess utility of. You may bought a Model 3 to just drive on the weekends, but again, you can walk to work, you work from home, but we're going to make it easier to monetize and feel safe monetizing that asset on the weekdays.
Yeah. So some people might be thinking that, like you were hinting at, there's a possibility that Tesla themselves may decide to do this. But actually, while you were interviewing Elon at that Tesla owner Silicon Valley interview, he himself was the one who used the word shepherd. He said, yes, we will need fleet managers, and that it's almost like shepherding a bunch of sheep was what he had said. And that's why you've been using the word shepherd. It's because it came from him, and he validated the need for fleet managers. So people that's going to clean the cars, who's going to make sure they manage it. So even if Tesla has their own robotaxi business, which they likely will, they still are planning for this idea that they will have fleet managers out there that can control. And that's why I think you're well set up. You could be the one big giant partner, or maybe one of 1,000 fleet managers that are out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, it's just providing the tools and collecting the data that we can right now to do that. I think Tesla is working on, as Elon told me during that interview, they're focused on manufacturing and autonomy. And autonomy is a big piece of the puzzle. It's a technological hurdle. But even when that happens, at least for the time being, tires still go flat, windshield wiper fluid still necessary, parking for charging, maintaining these vehicles is going to be a requirement. And whether Tesla decides to take that on themselves, whether they choose to have a partner like us, we're going to set ourselves up to be the partner, the one who's ready to say, hey, let's hit the road. And because we'll already be on the road. It'll be Tesla coming and saying, hey, we're going to make all these vehicles that right now your people have as assets, we're going to make them even more profitable.
Let's look back on this interview. One day we're going to get an announcement, and as the PR news will say, Tesla partners with Dispatch. Ryan Kilowatts is interviewed. It's going to be reminiscent of when Tesla partnered with Hertz, and Hertz is managing their, bought Tesla's to manage the rental. You're going to basically take over the Hertz role. This is like the new.
It could be. And I'm not holding myself short of that, but I'm not also expecting that. My goal is just to do the best thing I can in the business and hope to be the obvious choice when that time comes.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Ryan. Learned a lot about car sharing, and I'm very excited about the robotaxi future. Love talking to you. Everyone, please follow Ryan on his Twitter. His handle is thekilowatts at KLWTTS. He has a website, dispatchev.com. He's got a YouTube, The Kilowatts, and he's got his TikTok as well. So hopefully you learned something new. Please subscribe, follow, and like us. And hopefully you got a little bit brighter today. So thank you so much. Thanks, Ryan. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Herbert.